All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. Our faith is full of paradoxes. Remember these words from John's Gospel. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Or from Matthew, a few weeks ago, we had the parable of the workers in the vineyard. So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Today's paradox is worth exploration. The greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. In this passage from Matthew, Jesus is nearing the cross. It is Monday in Holy Week, and he is teaching his followers, the crowds, and his own disciples. Jesus warns the people that the religious leaders seem to have different standards for everyone else but themselves. What they are teaching is fine, he says, but don't follow their example. They are not living what they are teaching. How many of you had someone say to you, perhaps when you were growing up, "Do as I say, not as I do"? How many of you have said that to someone? I think most parents have said this at one time or another to their children. The problem is, it just doesn't work very well. Children learn by watching and imitating the behavior of people that they admire. So if you say, "Smoking is bad for you, don't smoke," but you continue to smoke, what are the children learning? Do as I say, not as I do, doesn't work very well. I have a thing about clutter, and if you see my office, you'll laugh because it's always cluttered, but clutter really confuses me, and I need at least one space in my home with no clutter. And when in West Virginia with my family, I asked them to keep certain rooms clutter-free. The dining room table, which unfortunately was right by the back door, and the TV room, you know, the den. So with two teenage boys, that's a losing battle. You know, they'd come home from school with huge backpacks on, and then sometimes coats, and bam, the backpack would be on the floor, and the shoes are under the table, and the coats are on the floor. And so I had to remind them often to please unclutter the dining room table. But anytime, of course, I would leave something out there, if my shoes were under the chair, I would hear about that right away. Children, especially teenagers, I think, can keep you honest. And I've learned that if you have a house rule and you are the enforcer and then you don't follow it and you have teenagers, you better watch out. Children can really keep you humble. But do as I say, not as I do, just doesn't work for most of us. And that's what the Pharisees were trying to do. So Jesus was teaching against the hypocrisy of the religious leaders of his time. Now it's easy for us sometimes to beat up on the Pharisees and think that they're the only ones that were hypocritical. But I think if we're honest, we have to admit that most all of us, at one time or another, do something hypocritical. it's impossible not to, really. That's why parents have to say from time to time to their children, do as I say, not as I do. But the Pharisees were making a life out of this hypocrisy, and at the same time, according to Jesus, they were putting heavy burdens on the people. They were interpreting the law down to the little dot and making it really difficult for people to live. So back to the paradox, the humbling and the exalting. Humility and humbling oneself are not things that we hear about very much in our modern culture. They are not popular topics. So I want to take a few minutes to explore what it might mean to be humble in the context of the Christian faith. True humility is not making oneself a doormat to be stomped on. And true humility is not denying one's gifts and talents. That is something else altogether, self-degradation, and that is not what Jesus was talking about. True humility, though, is a Christian virtue which can be practiced, and it has to do with a balanced view of ourselves. Roberta Bondi, one of my seminary professors at Candler, studied the early Amas and Abbas, the early monastics, the second and third century monastics who went out to the desert. First of all, they went out to be alone, and then they began to form communities in the desert. And in her book, To Pray and to Love, Conversations on Prayer with the Early Church, she tells us that prayer was the first virtue of the monastic life, and humility was the second. When we are truly humble, she says, we know that our worth comes not from ourselves or other people, but from God. Our worth comes not from ourselves or other people. Our worth comes from God. This can help us to have a realistic view of ourselves and others. It can also help us to be more loving. Humility, she tells us, is the opposite of perfectionism. A humble person is realistic about all human vulnerabilities, Roberta writes. So when we are practicing humility, we can have a greater capacity to forgive others. We are not as likely to judge other people harshly. I was reminded of another paradox this week having to do with the liturgies and a phrase that happens in Rite 1 and a phrase that happens in Rite 2. I've noticed over the years that a certain prayer in Rite 1, the prayer of humble access, as it is known, is very popular with some people. It is a very important part of some people's piety, and I respect that very much. And I've also learned that woe to the priest who forgets to say this prayer when it is expected, because I've done that at times. It's an optional prayer in Rite 1. So I know many people for whom this prayer is a favorite, and I also know people who can't stand that prayer because of what it signifies to them. I believe that it signifies to them a kind of a false humility. The prayer of humble access, for those of you who do not know it, may be said right before receiving communion in Rite 1, and it includes these words. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. Now, this is a reference to the Canaanite woman's conversation with Jesus, which is another sermon for another day. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. True or false? Well, it's true, but it's not the whole truth. Listen to this phrase from Eucharistic Prayer B in Rite 2. You have made us worthy to stand before you. Of course, this is addressed to God. You have made us worthy to stand before you. You see, both are true, and both can be said in the spirit of true humility. The emphasis is different. In Rite 1, the emphasis is on our unworthiness. In Rite 2, the emphasis is on our worthiness only because God has made us so. Our Anglican tradition embraces all the paradoxes of our faith. That's one of its wonderful things, one of the most wonderful things about it. It leaves room for nuance and complexity, for richness and depth of piety and spirituality. You may be familiar with the poet David White. He's one of my favorite modern poets, and he's recorded a lot of his poems. And one of his poems came to mind when I was working on this sermon. It's called Faces at Braga. Braga is an Irish monastery, and the faces are carved into the monastery walls. And to me, it speaks to the power and the beauty of the possibility of embracing all of ourselves, our whole selves, our strengths, as well as our weaknesses. I'm going to read a small excerpt of this poem, but the whole poem is quite wonderful. The Faces at Braga. Carved in devotion, their eyes have softened through age, and their mouths curve through delight of the carver's hand. If only our own faces would allow the invisible carver's hand to bring the deep grain of love to the surface. If only we knew, as the carver knew, how the flaws in the wood led his searching chisel to the very core. We would smile too, and not need faces immobilized by fear and the weight of things undone. Ultimately, humility is not about self-degradation, but it is about self-offering. And for that, we have our example in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Amen.